I appreciate that video. And for all of you veterans out there, I'm sure there's some of you out there this morning. I appreciate what you do. Several of my friends went in the military after school, and I've actually lost a couple friends through Desert Storm and those things. And one of the things I think about on days like this is that freedom isn't free. You and I would not be here had it not been for the spilled blood of men and women in the fighting for this country to allow us the freedom to be here. I'm going to tell you right now, I realize that we have got some problems in this country. I think everybody in here would say, you know, I get that too. But I'm going to tell you, there's no other place I would rather live than the United States of America. And I'll tell you this too, me, I'm Pastor John, by the way. I know some of you may not recognize me. Some of you have seen me here and there, but there's no other place I'd rather be than with you here this morning. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about what I have to share. And I know you may not know me, but I'm going to share some hard things this morning. So you're going to know me a little bit when we walk out the door. But this morning, what I've got for you is a message of hope, a message I want to share. We find the disciples not long after Jesus had been crucified, and they're kind of split up in multiple places. They're broken up, and we're going to look at some passages. Turn with me, matter of fact, if you would, to John chapter 19. While you're doing that, I'm going to grab my water. But we're going to find these guys that had spent time with Jesus at a place in their life where they really don't know what to do. Where they're kind of locked up, where they're hidden, they're locked up in their faith, they're not sure where their leader went, and hope has kind of been fleeting, I guess. That's where we're going to be this morning. So with that being said, John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, says this: On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Father, as we come into this place this morning, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here because people have sacrificed all so that we could sit in this place. But Father, we also thank you for this opportunity that we can meet as a group of believers, that we can seek you, that we can feel your Holy Spirit, feel your presence near us, Father. And that's what we ask right now, that you would saturate us with your Spirit, Father, that you would use me to speak your word to these people, Father, that we would leave this place differently than we came in. And Father, as we leave this place, we would offer the hope that Jesus Christ offers to this world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So hopeless, how many of you have been there? And I know I saw two hallelujah hands going up down there. I know what you're thinking. I walked in Walmart the other day, and there were 13 people in the self-checkout line, right? And there was one, and I know there's some of you that work at Walmart. I did too. I'm just playing. And you walked in there, and there was probably 10 more people in the one line that was open. And you're like, oh, man, deliverance. Oh, God, please send me some deliverance right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Or even worse, those of you that have kids, I've got words that are even worse than the Walmart one. Here it is. You pull up to McDonald's, to the drive-thru window, and all you want is a 10-piece nugget. That is all you want. And what do they tell you? could you please pull up into purgatory? That doesn't even exist, but they tell you to pull up into that spot and wait on your food, and you feel kind of hopeless. Those are kind of some silly things, right? Maybe that's not the hopelessness that we're really talking about here, but you do feel like that sometimes. Here's the reality of what hopelessness is. I've been around it. You've been around it. You see people outside the doors of this place that do not know Jesus Christ. There's a guy, friend of mine, who's an atheist, will gladly tell you he's an atheist. And I talked to him several times. And he would tell me, man, what I'm waiting on more than anything in this world is just to be off at 5 o'clock and be freed from this place. And then I'm going to go do what I want to do. And you can imagine probably what those things were. But I can tell you this, there wasn't a lot of hope in those things. You and I that sit here this morning, you and I that know Jesus Christ the Savior, we have a hope. And what that hope is that one day he's going to come back and straighten this country out for one thing. He's going to straighten this whole world out. But if you're like me, he's going to come back and he's even going to straighten us out, right? Because sometimes I feel hopeless, and we'll get into that a little while and how I got here and how you see this guy standing in front of you. But looking back at this passage of Scripture, we find the disciples here. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. So here's where we find them at, and here's the title of this message, I guess, if I have one, When Peace Walks Through the Door. And if you listen to that real closely, you'll catch something I threw in there, because what happens in this passage of Scripture, it says that Jesus came through what? A locked door, right? So they're all gathered together, and let's put ourselves in their heads for a second. Here's what they've seen, and here's what they've heard. They have seen this man who says he's the Son of God. They have seen him do miracle after miracle. They have seen him make the blind see. They've seen people, matter of fact, on the highest end of that spectrum probably, they saw something none of us in this room have ever seen before. They saw him call a man out from a grave that had been dead 3 days, and what happened? Lazarus came walking out of the tomb. Now remember that and hang on to that. But Lazarus came walking out of the tomb. So here we are. And what these guys have seen after that is what Jesus promised them was coming, right? He said, it's not going to be long and I'm going to be taken away from you. It's not going to be long and I'm not going to be here with you. And here's where we find them that evening. They're huddled up. They're grouped together in this room. And it says what? They're there because of fear of the Jews. Because what they had seen is their teacher and their master. They had seen him crucified. They had seen him die a horrible, horrible death. And what they were waiting on, what they were hoping for, is that he would show up back amongst them. That's exactly what happened, right? Guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. What this world needs is the hope that only Jesus Christ offers. And I'm going to be honest with you about this, too, and I'm about to get into that point, too. The thing that I struggle with most in this world sometimes is being the voice of that hope to those people outside the doors that need to hear it. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? I don't think I am. I struggle with that. Matter of fact, and this is where you're going to get to know me a little bit and find out how I ended up in front of you this morning. Kind of a product of that, and kind of a product of somebody caring enough to tell me there was hope. See, because there was a time in my life, not very long ago, matter of fact, I saw a post on Facebook the other day where it had been mine and Daniel Holsenbeck's one-year friend anniversary on Facebook. And I started thinking about that, and what that meant to me was I'd been here a little over a year. But what you don't know about me is the way I got here. And I'm going to tell you how that happened and how kind of hope came back into my life. It was because somebody was faithful to share Jesus Christ with me. Now, let me back this up a second. I've been in ministry of some sort for probably 15 of the last 20 years of my life, okay? Now, there is a spot in there where I wasn't serving, and we'll get into that in a second. But I'm going to tell you where I was at in my life. There were some times I'd moved back to Oakdale, and I discovered real real quickly that I had a few friends around there. Most of them were married, not a whole lot of people single to do anything with. And another thing I discovered really, really quickly is that I really didn't have anybody to go to church with either. Most of my friends weren't involved in church, and I started praying about that. And I'll tell you this, there were some lonely nights that I sat on a couch in the living room where I live at in Walmart, and this is what I prayed. God, you got to shake me out of this. I hadn't been serving you, and you've got to get me back to where I need to be. God, I need to hear from you, God. And I'm going to be honest with you on this, too. I was like, God, I need a sign. I need a sign that you're even hearing me right now. And, you know, looking at these disciples, I suspect they were probably calling out that same exact thing as they sat around in that room by themselves. And I can kind of relate to how these guys feel. So I sat on my couch, and there were all kind of things going on at work. There were all kind of things going on in the background of my life, and I was struggling. Anybody been there before? I'm telling you right now, there's somebody in this room that's struggling. You're sitting by somebody probably right now that's struggling, and not one person in this room knows they're struggling. I'll tell you why. Because I was that person. Because if you saw me in public, I always had a smile on my face. Because if you saw me in public, I was going to ask how your day was going. Because if you saw me in public, you'd think everything I had going on was good. But it wasn't. See, because secretly what was going on at my house is I was listening to Christian music. I was asking for God, you know, God, speak to me. I need to hear your voice again. And then something happened. I started working out. I know, strange, right? But that's going to leave me somewhere. Actually, that same place that I talked about that didn't offer me much hope, Walmart, is kind of where hope found me one night. And I'm going to tell you something about one of the guys that serves in this church and why I think the world of him. I always have. But Brian Manuel, Pastor Brian, I was standing on the supplement aisle in Walmart one night, and I saw him go by. And he turned around, I saw him, he swung back around, and he came down the supplement aisle, and he looked at me, and he said, man, I was thinking about you the other day. And he's like, I was wondering where you had been. Brian Manuel that goes here. And, you know, unfortunately for you guys, you're getting overrun by Oakdale people. I don't know what y'all did to deserve that, but y'all are getting overrun by Oakdale people. But Brian Manuel's one of the best Oakdale has to offer. You take that as you will. Anyway, and you can talk to me about that after I get done. But Brian Manuel came up to me that night in Walmart where I was probably at one of the absolute lowest points in my life. And he looked me in the face and he listened to me and he looked and he said these words to me. He said, John, I believe God is not through with you. He said, I believe he's still got a word for you. And I think about these disciples as they stood in that room. You know, at that point, they had to be like, man, this whole thing is over. God, we're done. This whole ministry that we had, reaching these people, everything is over for us. But then Jesus walked in the room. And I'm not calling Brian Manuel Jesus. I saw a picture of him from 1997 on Facebook the other day. He looks nothing like Jesus. He's still as attractive as he always has been, or so he proclaimed on Facebook the other day. But I want you to know this. Brian Manuel that day stood in front of me, and I heard God's voice through him, and I'm thankful for that. So here's what happened after that. And I didn't see you guys, because I'm going to be honest, I wasn't waking up that early. I was awake pretty late at night struggling. So here's what I did. I would come, and I would creep in that back door. And I guess I could tell myself I was trying to find out what was so good about those back pews. I don't know, because I never got to sit one, because I was always in the front pew everywhere I went to speak or whatever. But I was trying to find out. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was hiding in plain sight right back there by that pole. It's where I'd sit every Sunday morning when I'd come. Matter of fact, I came one Sunday. God spoke to me. It scared me so bad I didn't come back for 3 weeks. It wasn't because I didn't like y'all. It wasn't because the boudin wasn't good down the road, because I know Kevin brags on that a lot. It wasn't because of that. It's because it scared me, because this is what I felt. And I have to tell you guys this. When I walked in this church, I walked out, and I remember telling Brian this. If I was going to start a church, this is what it looked like. I saw people raising their hands. I saw people hugging each other. I heard people talking about celebrate recovery. and where hope had come from them. I heard testimonies over time. I started kind of creeping out and started talking to a few people, and hope started coming back for me. And then there was another Sunday. Oh, man. And I think about this. Kevin West found me sitting somewhere back there, and he said these words that I was dreading to hear. He's like, after service is over, I want to talk to you for a minute. He's like, Brian told me who you are and what you're about. And he's like, I really want to talk to you. I was like, golly, God, you found me. You found me. I was hiding in plain sight, but you found me. But I want you to know this, and I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. Kevin West preaches some messages that are highly applicable and highly spiritual, and I appreciate that guy more than I could ever tell him. That message last week on time, oh my goodness, shook me to the core. I've thought about it all week long. How much time do I have left? How long am I going to run from God and do all these things that I'm trying to busy my life up with that are keeping me from serving Him? That's some rough stuff, right? But I want you to know this. I found hope sitting in this church again. And I thank you guys for that, because you prayed for him and he spoke to me. God used him. He spoke through Brian Manuel to me. But I'm a product of hope. And I'm kind of excited, because I wouldn't be standing here in front of you right now had it not been for a run-in, get this, funny stuff, on the supplement aisle at Walmart one Sunday night. Because Brian told me that night, he said, Bill Platt, First Baptist, is about to vote on me as pastor, as student pastor. He said, man, I really think you ought to come check that out. Hope. Good stuff, right? I've got hope. I wake up today and, hey, not everything is great. Sometimes I still feel like these disciples. Sometimes I feel like maybe half the stuff in my world has been ripped out from under me. But this is what I know. I know Jesus, and he knows me. We were singing that song about a healer. I have hope, too, that he can heal us from hurts, not just pains, from hurts, from things in our life. He can restore us, too. And that's exactly where we get in this passage of Scripture. We start with hope, and he walks in, and he says, peace be with you. And that's what he restores next for them in their life. What Jesus did at this point is he walked in, they felt hope, and he removed their doubt. Anybody ever in this room ever felt hopeless because you were struggling with doubt? Second thing I wrote down as my second point was this: when hope walked in, doubt walked out. Because when Jesus walked back into their life that day, man, you see all the things that they're pointing out right off the bat. He says to them, peace be with you. He says it again, peace be with you, and my Father has sent me. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in that. But what we see in this passage is that Jesus walked into the room and removed all their doubt. He walked in and those guys were changed. And I thought about this. You know, you and I, we wouldn't be holding a Bible that looks like this if it weren't for this group of guys that were standing scared in that room that night. I'm going to tell you something else, too. Here's another little confession about me. People come up to me all the time and they say stuff like, I don't see how you ever got up and you spoke in front of people. Well, that makes two of us, because I've often wondered that same thing. Because here's another little confession. Multiple times I've been diagnosed with anxiety disorder. Anybody in here, and you don't have to raise your hand, you can shake it, you don't even have to move. Anybody else in here struggle with anxiety? Man, scary stuff, isn't it? I'm going to tell you one of the reasons that I absolutely know Jesus Christ is real, that I absolutely know the Holy Spirit's real. I'm going to tell you, I was nervous. I was scared to death when I was sitting on that pew this morning. I get overwhelmed sometimes. I feel anxious. I mean, I'm sure that's exactly how those disciples felt that night. Scared to death, anxious, overwhelmed. But then Jesus walked in the room, and for me, one of the things in my life was, I'm never going to be able to get in front of anybody and do something like that. God, you can't be calling me. You're going to have to take all this doubt away from me. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, God, the people that heard me preach for the first 2 years, I still pray for them. I hope they recorded it and slowed it down to 1/3 speed, because that's the only way they got anything out of that, I'm telling you. I preached 3-hour messages in 17 and a half minutes at first. I was scared to death. Anxiety took over. But you know, in the end of that, even through the anxiety, and this is one of the things, man, God, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I've stood up there and I fell flat on my face. And I'm going to tell you, anybody who stands up here, we're probably the hardest critics of anybody on ourselves. I would get in the car and I would beat myself up over the points I preached. But somehow, maybe it was that morning or maybe it was later in the week. I don't know. Sometimes it would happen. Somebody would call me and they'd say this. That was exactly what I needed to hear this morning. I hope something that I say is exactly what you need to hear this morning. I hope if you're sitting in this chair this morning in this church and you're feeling hopeless, you hear what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ really does offer hope. Jesus Christ and his presence in your life will really remove doubt. And I'm going to tell you this too, because there's two results that can come from doubt in your life. We see one of them right here. Where do we find these guys at in this passage of Scripture? Huddled up, not doing anything, right? They're hiding for fear of what? Fear of their lives. I'm going to tell you this, this too. Not a one of us, when we walk out of this room today, are going to be threatened with our lives for sharing Jesus Christ. None of us. Now, you may have some friends turn their back on you. You may have some people not wanting to talk to you anymore after they found you have gone overboard and jumped ship for Jesus. I'm not going to say that. But you're not in any danger walking out those doors. But I'm going to tell you this. This is what I know about doubt. Doubt can take over your life just like it did these guys, and it can freeze you. It can put you at a place. It put me at a place sitting on my couch, and this is another confession. Where I used to go out, and I do this now, and there's some people in here that would testify to this, I talk to people. I try to love on the person that looks like they're the most heartbroken in the world walking by me in Walmart. Ask how their day's going. Ask how they're doing. But I'm going to tell you the point that I got to in my faith. I was so messed up. Hope had seemed so fleeting. I had so many doubts in my head. I would go to Walmart and I would strategize a way that I could grab just enough food to last for about 3 days at work and get in and out of there in about 4.5 minutes. You know why? Because I didn't want to run into anybody I knew. You know why? Because I was stagnated. I was complacent. I was locked up because of doubt in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy had to be rejoicing over that. Sitting there with my mouth shut. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You probably figured this out. I've got a really big mouth. If you know me, I don't ever shut up. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've got some ADD action going on. There's like 15 thoughts going on in my head at all times. And if you sit there and you start snoring, I am probably going to stare at you, not because I'm really staring at you, but because my brain just can't take stuff on like that, okay? But I'm confessing to you that stuff. You know, that's me. And I got to the point where I had just been stagnated. I was complacent. I was in a place where I wasn't hearing God's voice, and you know what? I was kind of good with that sometimes. And I was good walking out of Walmart, not running into one person I knew. And if I'd see them down the aisle where the rice was at, I was running to the frozen food section. I was avoiding that aisle if I needed to go down it. That's where I was at in my faith. And I'm the guy standing in front of you this morning. So here's what I'm telling you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, don't ever doubt this. God loves you. And there is nothing in this world you can do that will separate him. Scripture says that over and over, that will separate him from you and his love from you. Don't end up like a couch, on a couch like I was, scared to death to go out there and do anything for Jesus, scared to death to open my mouth, scared to death that when I walked into church, you know, that everybody in the world was just going to think I was the absolute worst person in the world. Don't live like that. Restoration, that's what Jesus is about. You know, because here's the other thing. There's a good side of doubt, too. And what it is, these guys, their doubt got relieved. But there is a doubt that will make you seek. And I heard this testimony the other day. I was talking to one of our chemists at work. He said, man, when I graduated high school, he's like, I went into college. He said, and I had all these doubts. He said, and then I started studying, he said, things at a molecular level. He said, and I saw the organization that was needed just for one little molecule and how there's no way it should even hold itself together if there's no God. He said, and I'm one of those few people that found out. He said, my doubts were removed from me. He said, why through science? And not everybody can say that. But he said, I looked at the organization of the things around me, and it pointed to the fact that there is a creator out there. And I was like, man, that is some good stuff. And I appreciate you encouraging me. Because see, doubt, good doubt, can make you seek. Bad doubt makes you stagnant, complacent, all those things. But sometimes doubt encourages us. And I read this, and I'll go on. I'm getting close to being done, but it says, when faith which does not doubt is dead faith. And I thought about that, and I was like, man, I don't know about that statement, but it's absolutely true. Here's the deal. If you're not walking in faith, you're not walking with a little bit of doubt in your faith, maybe you're probably not walking at all, because this is what I know. God will never leave you sitting in that pew. He will never leave you sitting where you're at right this second. His desire is for you to always grow in your faith. That's where we see these guys right here. He had to leave them so they could be the guys that went out. And as you know, most of them died for their faith. Jesus had to leave them, and he had to come back so they could have the confidence to go out and live the faith that he had called them to. Next thing, peace received. Oh, man. Look at this, and I've read this a couple times already, but he says to them in verse 19, he says, peace be with you. And it says, and after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then again, in verse 21, it says, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So, you know, this big thing, peace. He tells them in that passage, he says, he shows them his hands and his side, and it says they were overjoyed. Why were they overjoyed, you think? And one of the things I thought about, when they saw his hands and they saw his side, what happened, had to happen and go through their mind. One of the things I thought about is at that particular moment in time, they had to say, you know what? Every single thing he said to us was true. He was coming back. And we see the scars from where he died, from where he suffered on that cross, and here he is amongst us. He walked into a room without even opening the door, and here he is telling us we can have peace in our life and that he's going to be with us. That's what he's calling us to do, isn't it? He's calling us to come, take a look, see that he's real. Most of us in this room, we've had a spot in our life. I've had lots of them. Where, you know, especially with the whole anxiety thing, sometimes we need God to calm down and give us peace in the storms of our life, and sometimes we need him to give us peace inside of us. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Storms may be raging. You may be feeling like you're getting beaten all to pieces. But God wants you to know this morning that he's in your storm. And he's speaking to you too, and he wants to calm that storm in your life. That's what he did to me, and this is what I'm thankful for. In these last two little points I'll close with, but God sent somebody to calm my storm. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent Brian Manuel. He sent Kevin West. He sent somebody who's sitting here this morning that encouraged me all the time, day after day, that told me, you know, I was going to do this last Sunday, that I was good enough to stand up here again and do what I'm doing right now. You don't know what it means to have somebody do that for you. Last two things I'll share with you is this. For one, think about Thomas. What does it say in here? If I was Thomas, I think this would have irritated me a little bit. It says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then Thomas says this, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side, stop doubting and believe. Here's the deal with that. Thomas was one of the disciples, and he had to wait another 8 days to see Jesus. Can you imagine how bad that had to stink? All these other guys are talking about, oh yeah, we saw him. We saw the spots in his hand. We saw the spot in his side. You didn't get to see anything. Why? Because you weren't here with us. And it says that because Thomas wasn't here. I'm going to tell you something, guys. When believers are gathered together, we need to be there. And there's a message in that in this passage. We need to be there. Oh, man, but here's the other one. And I'm going to kind of close with this and one other little thing. Here's the other one. We have got to be patient. You don't have to confess this out loud, but I'm going to tell you something. Man, I struggle when I see people that have kind of made it, when I feel like I'm struggling. I struggle when sometimes I get jealous when God's given somebody a word and he hasn't given me one. I struggle when I think about somebody has made it to a spot of discipleship that I haven't. I'm going to be honest, I get jealous sometimes. Last thing right here, be patient. Discipleship does not happen in a day. Sometimes deliverance does not happen in a day, and your doubt can't always be fixed in a day. For these guys, Jesus appeared in the middle of them. He stood there in their presence, and he changed their life. For some of us, it's going to be a person sitting beside you in a pew. It's going to be somebody you ran into. When those times come in your life, when doubt creeps in, they're going to come to you, and they're going to be that voice of affirmation. What I want to do this morning, I want to pray for you. And I hope in what I went through and what these disciples went through that you'll have hope, that God would take away maybe some kind of doubt you have. If you're wondering, you know, can God use me? After these guys, after they had done what they did, it says this. Jesus told them that, you know, my Father sent me, and I tell you this, I am returning to my Father. After that, he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. And he sent them out after that. God is sending us out to tell people that we may not have seen Jesus, but we know Jesus. Be that person. Go out, open your mouth today. Tell somebody that Jesus Christ has made you free. Let's pray. Father, as we think on hope, as we think on doubt, as we think on even peace in our life, Father, there's somebody in this room that's struggling with that today. And Lord, I pray that through the words that I've spoken today, Lord, that somebody in this room might be changed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we just thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.